CCB Board Meeting Minutes February 5, May 28, 2015 by Judy Wilkinson, Secretary. Here are the minutes for all but my final meeting as CCB Secretary. When those minutes are approved at the fall board meeting, I will summarize them in the winter issue. Here are the officers. I will only note absent members, and as always, if you want the appendices referred to, you can call the office. President Jeff Tom, First Vice President Eugene Lozano Jr., Second Vice President Roger Peterson, Secretary Judy Wilkinson, Treasurer Peter Pardini, Immediate Past President Donna Pomerantz, Directors Lena Bendy, Artis Bezin, Vincent Calderon, Paul Patch Jr., Linda Perel, John Ross, Frank Weld, Robert Went, Vita Zavoli. Minutes, February 5, 2015. President Jeff Tom called the meeting to order at 7:02 p.m. Absent, Lena Bendy, Robert Went. Other attendees, Steve Aminoff, Annette Carter, Albert Contreras, Ramona Craig, Christy Crespin, Margie Donovan, Steve Fort, Gabe Griffith, Jason and Jennifer Holloway, David Jackson, Pam and Ken Metz, Charles Nabarit, Phil Obregon, Pedro Romero. There was no formal adoption of the agenda. Public comment, none. Approval of minutes. Jean moved and Artis seconded a motion to approve the board minutes for September 4, 2014. Vote unanimous. Ratification of board votes. Judy moved and Roger seconded a motion to extend the contract date from December 31 to March 1 for the already approved remaining 30 hours of the Drupal conversion contract. Vote unanimous. Roger moved and Peter seconded a motion to allocate an additional 30 hours plus further 10 hours at the discretion of the president to complete the Drupal conversion contract. Vote unanimous. Discussion of the 2015 conference convention. Jeff began the discussion by thanking those who have worked so hard on options for the convention, our negotiator, Jean, Peter and Donna. Our two choices for spring are, 1. Hold the conference/convention at the Marriott Woodland Hills Hotel on either May 14th to 17th or May 28th to 31st. 2. Choose an entirely new site. Fall option, hold the convention at the Hilton Woodland Hills, our current hotel, October 1st to 4th. He and the other three board members unanimously favor holding the convention in the fall. Arguments against spring. The entire hotel site team, Ed, Jeff, Jean, Peter, Donna, Margie, would need to visit any hotel, including the Marriott, with regard to all our convention needs. All pre-convention activities would need to begin again, everything from arranging a contract and getting board approval, to credentials, to exhibitor packets, to arranging for speakers, to sending out pre-convention announcements, etc. would need to begin from scratch, a daunting task beginning at this late date. Fall advantage is really the reverse of all the spring issues, plenty of time for planning, including perhaps cheaper airfares. No need for all the issues concerning a site visit. Significant financial benefits and concessions advantageous to both the organization and members attending the convention. Fall disadvantage is proximity to the Mutzrat. More important, the constitutional issue of the smaller board. Because our constitution states that elections will be held at the convention, as of July 1, we would be without the second vice president, secretary and five board members, though the president can appoint a secretary. Jean, Donna and Peter added other issues ranging from the possibility of the Marriott not having a restaurant, to greater chance of getting volunteers, to better chance of attracting exhibitors, to giving the Southern California chapters more time to decide how they wish to participate in the convention. At this point we have a host for the welcome party but nothing else. Board questions and comments. John supported the fall option. Judy expressed concern about the statewide affiliates whose meetings and elections are tied to the convention. Jean moved and Donna seconded a motion to reschedule the 2015 CCB conference convention to the first weekend in October, October 1st to 4th, at the Woodland Hills Hilton Hotel. Further discussion. Linda supported Judy's worries about the meetings and elections for affiliates. She expressed extreme concern over losing one-third of the board. Also back-to-back conventions. Vince pointed out that we are making the best of a bad situation here, but it is just a one-time thing. Vita reiterated concern over the diminished board and asked if we could conduct major business by the end of June. Jeff said he was absolutely willing to call board meetings in June but consulted with Gabe as to whether the Constitution directed in any way holding such meetings. Gabe suggested that the easiest way would be for Jeff to call such a meeting. The consensus of the board was that we feel comfortable leaving it up to Jeff to call meetings. Judy asked if we could avoid scheduling meetings until board elections. It was agreed we can't make such a promise since anything could come up needing board action. Donna reminded us we could have multiple meetings before the end of June. Linda, while we're demolishing the box, what about having elections then a board meeting later in the convention? The thought was expressed that Sunday afternoon could work. Jean asked that we not lock in the planning committee so they could consider all alternatives. Jeff supports the concept. Linda came back to the diminished board issue stating that she thought the tone was a bit cavalier. Jeff emphasized that we take the issue very seriously. Roger stated that in discussing the issue with the Constitution Committee, a special convention can be called with a minimum of one-third of the delegates and 50 members. In response to Vita's question as to whether the Constitution prohibited such a convention be held by phone, Jeff replied the Constitution is silent, but Roger reminded us of possible credentialing problems and the dicey situation in case the phones didn't work. Frank asked which board members would end terms in June: Roger, Judy, Artis, Linda, John, Robert, Vita. He also asked what the financial savings would be for holding the convention in the fall at the Hilton. Jeff said we're in negotiations but at this time the information is confidential. But he emphasized the savings would be significant. For purposes of this discussion, Roger reminded us we're in negotiations for a 2016 contract. Jean emphasized that a board vote on that contract should occur long before June. Public comment: Steve Fort supports the fall option since it gives members time to save and he worries about the possibility of no restaurant at the Marriott. Margie Donovan expressed several concerns regarding the fall option, little or no concern for statewide affiliates. Too much emphasis on only financial benefits, not a good basis for planning decisions. Construction might not be finished. She wishes the board would think more globally. Gabe expressed support for the fall option and stated that as chair of the Constitution Committee, he stands ready to help any affiliate facing constitutional challenges for the convention. Vita asked that an announcement of such assistance be publicized on the president's list. Artis concurs with worries about the statewide affiliates. She suggested we might still be able to have the convention in May if we get word out right away. Donna stated this is an unhappy situation, but we don't want to burden our convention planner for the spring. He and his committee will have more time with the fall convention. Paul expressed concern about the Mudstrut being so close to the convention. Jeff agreed and stated the committee had definitely discussed that problem. The motion passed with one no vote and one abstention. OCB Student Assistance Fund. Judy moved and Peter seconded a motion to remove the restrictions on the OCB Student Assistance Fund and return the money under budget item 1035 to CCB's general fund. She presented background material. See Appendix 1. Jeff stated that in their discussion of dissolving the OCB alumni affiliate, the members had specifically addressed this issue and made the recommendation concerning this money. He also pointed out that we have lost around $10,000 from our San Diego fundraisers, which this money would partially offset for this year. The motion passed with one no vote. Mudstrut budget: Jeff stated we already have spent $50 for a deposit on the Sacramento Park. And Peter added that in order to save our data with First Giving, we've spent $500. Peter read the proposed Mudstrut budget. See Appendix 2. Total revenue proposed: Los Angeles $25,050. Sacramento $27,550. The drawing should produce $4,000. Board discussion: Frank asked where the registration projections come from given that a total of 400 participants for each region seemed unrealistic to him. The event planners have suggested this number. He asked about the projected expenses and profit. Peter said each region would spend about $19,000. LA's profit estimated at $5,800. Sacramento's $7,895. Vita stated she couldn't decide whether these numbers seemed realistic since she had nothing to compare them with. She requested a line item statement for last year's mud strut rather than the minimal one the board received this morning. Peter agreed to send it. Judy asked for a history of the difference between our projected income and the actual profits. She suspected we overestimate. In fact, last year the projection was fairly close, as Sacramento had estimated a loss. The projected revenue was $7,558. Actual revenue was $6,552. Linda wanted to confirm that coordinators such as the volunteer coordinator would be paid. Jeff confirmed this. Linda expressed her pleasure that such efforts would be recognized. She asked who the event planner is. Jeff asked Donna to give background. Donna said she had interviewed several but that W2 had won out. She reminded us that we had asked for such an event planner given that we felt our resources were stretched so thin. Jeff reiterated that this is the next big step if we are going to grow this event as we hope. Judy asked what they will do for us. It will be spelled out in the contract, but they will provide services such as marketing, contacting running clubs, getting us on save the date events. In response to Vita's question as to whether we would pay less in printing costs by using save the date options, Jeff pointed out we would be getting more bang for our buck as we had spent too much on the quality of our printed materials. Donna stated the two regions are working on expanding partnerships and people are already clamoring to begin helping. Both regions are building friends. Frank stated the expenses look reasonable to him and asked if added costs for things like porta potties had been included given higher estimated attendance. For LA this is not an issue, but the budget was increased in Sacramento. Artis moved and Donna seconded a motion to approve the Mudstruck budget. The motion passed with 3 abstentions. Updates. Jeff gave an update about replacing our phone system. He, Ed, Jean, Donna and Peter have gotten a couple of bids and are getting another on Friday. The specs were approved by the TOG. This is a long-term investment, so we are being very careful. Donna added that we try to get a grant but are too small. The meeting was adjourned at 9:05 p.m. Minutes, March 12, 2015. The board met in executive session commencing at approximately 7:05 p.m. Jeff reported that the board adopted a motion to hold the 2015 Sacramento and Los Angeles Mudstrut events in conjunction with City of Hope, in accordance with prescribed requirements. The board also discussed a legal matter. Submitted by President Jeff Tom, May 6, 2015. President Jeff Tom called the meeting to order at 7:02 p.m. Absent, John Ross, Robert Went. The board moved into executive session. A CCB matter was discussed. Jean moved and Roger seconded a motion to accept a proposal to hire Peter Alchil for mediation and planning. The motion carried. The meeting recessed at 7:40 p.m. The public portion of the meeting convened at 7:45 p.m. Directors John Ross and Robert Went were absent. Attendees, Steve Aminov, Annette Carter, Phil Obregon, Pam Pelagi, Margie Donovan. Linda moved and Jean seconded a motion to approve the board minutes for February 5, 2015. The motion passed with 1 abstention. Peter moved and Donna seconded a motion to approve the minutes from the board executive session of March 12, 2015. The motion passed with 2 abstentions. Discipline Committee Report. Judy reported that as a result of the meeting, including board members Roger Peterson and Linda Perel, it was decided that since Don Brown was not a CCB member in 2014 and is not currently a member, no action can be taken. She reiterated that the committee supports GDUC's efforts to regain its incorporation status. Jean moved and Peter seconded the motion to accept the committee's report. Vote unanimous. See Appendix 1. Board List. Vita explained that as now configured, the board list is the only list for which reply goes to the entire list instead of the poster. On all other lists, reply to all is used to reply to the entire list. She pointed out this change would reduce traffic on the list. Vita moved and Judy seconded a motion to change the board list from reply going to all members to reply going to the messages poster. Vote unanimous. Treasurer's update. Peter reported that between January 1st and April 30th, 2015, revenue was $23,159 and expenses were $47,420. The difference, -$24,261. For 1 month of investments, we lost $8,446. Overall difference, -$32,707. Lena moved and Artis seconded a motion to accept the treasurer's update. Vote unanimous. Judy reminded Peter that as per Vita's request at the board meeting of February 5, 2015, he still hasn't sent a Mudstruth budget showing comparative line-by-line figures from 2014 and 2015. Peter said he would get this out right away. CCB budget. Vince reported the committee met in March. Extensive discussion followed. Judy asked for clarification for budgeted amounts on a number of items, the vehicle donation center, scholarship, phone, which issues were covered by the amount spent for the blind Californian. Peter agreed to check which issues were covered. Website development. At Donna's suggestion, we informally agreed that a legend is to the meaning of the alphabet soup notation, such as NPEF for Newell Perry Fund, would henceforth be provided. Donna moved and Artis seconded a motion to amend item 6080, the budgeted amount for telephone service, to $5,100. Vote unanimous. Linda reminded the board we need to calculate possible costs for recording the BC. Vita questioned the difference in the original budgeted cost for the Mudstruth, $23,000, and the amount now appearing, $35,000. The amount we pay City of Hope will depend on how much we actually raise. The more we spend, the more we will have made. She asked if budget item 4820, fundraising, applied only to the Mudstruth. It was agreed to add a legend stating that this item refers only to the Mudstruth. She expressed concern proposed profit from the Mudstruth of $56,600. Judy pointed out this is in fact one-third of our proposed income for the year. Jeff reiterated that what we actually make in profit will determine what we spend and what we receive. He intimated that the amount raised will be revealing about our investment in the Mudstruth. Artis asked about the decreased amount for medical insurance. The costs have gone down but the coverage has not changed. Vita asked if item 4080 contributions refers to the money from SoCalGas. Confusion ensued as to how to label this item and how to link it to the rest of the budget. Peter moved and Artis seconded a motion to add a new line item, advertising. Linda suggested this is like underwriting. Vita explained that SoCal approached us to have an ad on our website. The TOG put up what they requested. Vote unanimous. Confusion followed as to what our new actual expenses revenue are for the budget. Peter and Jeff disagreed about the final numbers. Judy moved and Donna seconded that within 30 days, the board will receive a clean copy of the revised budget, with a legend for the abbreviations. Vote unanimous. New telephone system. Jeff reported how complicated and frustrating the entire process had been. We received 4 bids, 1 didn't meet our needs and 1 came in very late. Jeff reported that neither Comcast nor Toshiba's systems are completely accessible. Peter moved and Artis seconded a motion to accept the Comcast bid. Linda reminded us of the new commitment from Comcast for accessibility as presented at the ACB convention last year. Vote unanimous. 2016 convention. Jean reported that extensive investigation has taken place to secure a Northern California location for the 2016 convention, the Bay Area, San Jose, Santa Clara, Sacramento, reaching out to Fresno, Visalia, Stockton, Modesto, Bakersfield. Most locations were unsuitable for a variety of reasons ranging from transportation issues to costs. We sent out 24 bids and received 2 viable options in Fresno and Visalia, both too difficult, expensive for transportation and or site inaccessibility and food beverage requirements. No Sacramento hotel responded, including the Hilton Arden West where we've had our past 2 Northern California conventions. All the hotels are trying to recoup losses both past and anticipated by demanding more in their bids. After checking the Constitution, Article 5.1, there are no restrictions as to where the convention can be held. We explored options in Southern California, including Palm Springs in June-July. There were concerns about the heat, especially for the dogs, and the ACB convention dates. The Hilton Woodland Hills where we are having the 2015 and 2017 conventions quoted us room rates of $129. We are exploring other options, casinos. 1. Beaches Casino, near San Diego, looks good. After some negotiating, their costs are more in line. Room rates, $99. Ground transportation, $50 round trip, down from $116, and $15,000 Bahamian dollars. The site committee would need to visit. They've given us dates in April and May. Another option would be to hold our convention in or near Reno, which would keep it in the Northern California arena. Jeff spoke to the Nevada Council president, who agreed we might explore a joint event with possible separate components. Judy moved and Vida seconded a motion to explore the Beaches option for 2016. Vote unanimous. Gene warned that we face even more serious problems beginning in 2018 when costs will begin to skyrocket. Peter moved and Vida seconded exploring the Nevada option. Jeff underscored that we would only do this if Beaches doesn't work out. Vote unanimous. Linda commented that Reno certainly isn't Northern California. Judy suggested going back to the Woodland Hills even at $129. Gene will see if they might renegotiate, though no one agreed with this amount. Public comment: Margie Donovan objected to the Reno possibility. But more important, she was concerned that she hadn't been interviewed regarding the Don Brown matter. Because she hadn't been there for the report, Judy summarized it. Margie then asked what might happen if he became a member. Jeff suggested this was out of order, but underscored that any board member could ask to revisit the matter in the future. Judy reminded Jeff that we needed to report the motion from the earlier executive session, motion to accept a proposal to hire Peter Alchil for mediation and planning. The meeting was adjourned at 9:40 p.m. May 28, 2015. President Jeff Tom called the meeting to order at 7:01 p.m. Absent: Vincent Calderon, John Ross. Other attendees: Steve Aminoff, Annette Carter, Margie Donovan, Gabe Griffith, Larry Hall, Guillermo Robles, Pete Romero, Ken Stewart, Vivian Younger. Artist moved and Lena seconded a motion to approve the minutes of May 6, 2015. Vote unanimous. Phone system update: Jeff reported that Comcast completed its office survey and things are on schedule. The system should be installed within the next couple of weeks. It turns out we don't have as much room in some of the mailboxes as we thought. Jeff reminded us there will be a learning curve, but some training will be provided. Conference convention update: Gene reported that on June 25th to 26th, the site committee will visit the Hilton Woodland Hills to make sure restaurant and other remodeling is suitable for our convention. They will also meet with hotel staff. Then the committee will visit the Vegas Casino near San Diego. The dates April 6 to 10, 2016 for our conference convention were the clear majority. The proposed contract includes everything we've asked for. The team will do a walkthrough, have dinner and meet with staff the next morning. They hope to bring a proposal to the board by June 30th. Jeff added that if anyone has further questions they'd like the committee to investigate, to contact the site committee. We do know we won't have to go through the casino to get to our meetings. The committee consists of Chair Dean Lozano, President Tom, Past President and Low Vision Rep Donna Pomeranz, Margie Donovan Guide Dog Rep, Peter Pardini Treasurer and Exhibit Hall Rep. In response to a question from the public, Jeff clarified the board's earlier decision to return to Southern California for the 2016 conference/convention, and Gene reminded us that according to Constitution Article 5.1, the board can decide where to hold conventions. 2015 Conference Convention Board Meeting: Jeff stated the issue is whether to have the meeting of the board held in conjunction with the convention on Thursday or Sunday afternoon. Donna moved and Lena seconded a motion to hold the board meeting Sunday afternoon, provided the hotel still has the space available. Gene opposed the motion. People don't stay through the Sunday morning business meeting as it is. It would be difficult for those who work to return home so late on Sunday or have to stay over another night. It will be difficult to fill the Thursday afternoon time period, and people will come late on Thursday. People may not buy the plated meal, leaving financial problems meeting our food beverage minimums. Judy stated that so far as she understood, the only reason for having the Sunday meeting was the one-time only difficulty of having a full complement of board members until after Friday's elections. She also asked for clarification that the board members would be seated immediately as their term would have begun on July 1st under ordinary circumstances. Jeff confirmed these points. Vida raised the issue of whether the Sunday meeting would be streamed, meaning the streaming team would also need to remain beyond the morning session. Jeff said this is not confirmed but conceded it would make a difference. Linda reiterated that this issue results from one of many fallouts from delaying the spring convention. She firmly opposed having any meeting with a diminished board. Peter reiterated that these are technically vacant terms, so board members would assume office immediately upon election. Roger stated we should consider changing our constitution bylaws to avoid this problem in the future. Jeff spoke supporting the motion. This is a one-time only occurrence. No one likes it, but having a full board is important. On a voice vote, the motion passed with one no vote. Jean requested a roll call vote. All members voted yes other than Jean's no public comment. None. Jeff thanked everyone for being on the call. The board then moved into executive session. The executive session was called to order at 7:53 p.m. The board moved into executive session. The board passed a motion authorizing the president to sign a retainer agreement with the Rosen et al. Law firm on the issue of absentee voting in California and related issues. Contract matters were discussed. A charter issue will be discussed at our June meeting. We adjourned at 8:20 p.m.